The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Andy O'Donoghue, Hoover Tech Thursday to start. For those people who are still using Twitter, and I refuse to call it by any other name, for those people using that site, what's this new move in relation to likes?
Interesting move from Twitter, Matt. The Twitter engineering team tweeted themselves. Elon Musk had alluded to this over the last week or so, but the engineering team really set it out very clearly for us a couple of nights back, and they said, this week we're making likes private for everyone. And the idea, they said, was to better protect your privacy.
So what does that mean, making likes private?
Yeah, what they're doing, and you do wonder about that. What they will do is you will still be able to see the posts that you have liked, but essentially other people can't see what you have liked. So I think the principle around that is that Elon's idea around this is that you can like tweets that may be controversial, that may be counter to the mainstream debate or discussion or opinion, and you can express your liking for them without a pylon, without people saying, oh, Andy or Matt, you know, you've liked that terrible opinion, that, you know, vitriol, even, as we see on Twitter so often these days. And that's the idea. They're going to do a few things. So, for instance, the like count and other metrics for the post will still show up under your notifications. So you know who has liked your post, but you won't know who has liked someone else's post. And so essentially the post's author can always see who liked the posts, but people won't know what you've liked. Elon thinks this is a privacy move, been generally well received over the last couple of days. So will it stay? I think it's probably going to be here for a while.
Okay, let's move on and let's talk about tech for the perfect road trip. And it just struck me as well, Andy, there's a lot of people, electric car sales are falling because of range anxiety. That's one thing if you're driving your car around Ireland. But does it mean that taking an electric car maybe on a foreign holiday via the ferry, if you're environmentally conscious, is a stupid thing to do because you may not be able to recharge?
Well, I don't think it's a stupid thing to do. Of course, most electric cars, when you buy them, hybrids come with literally the plug-in charger. So you always have that kind of standard type plug that you can plug into, very slow charge. You don't top up real fast. But what you can do, Matt, is there are a couple of really good apps. First of all, if you're lucky enough to drive a Tesla, the Tesla app is really good at finding a location. It'll show you them within range and it'll tell you when they're free, how long, you know, you would have to wait. That works really well. But an app that I use myself is called PlugShare. PlugShare. And PlugShare allows you to find EV charging stations first of all, it's available on iOS, Android and web, but it allows you to find charging stations in North America, Europe and all over the world. I have literally used this for the shopping center that's close to my house. I drive a hybrid, and so I always, if I'm going to the shops, I always charge up if I can. And basically, it shows you your location, and has this, I think there's global coverage of almost 500,000 charging stations, and it will show you the car park, it'll show you where they're located, and it will show you if they're working, which is really useful. And it works really well. So no matter where you're going, be it along the way or your destination, using PlugShare, which is a free app, is a really good idea.
Okay, and then you have an idea for a portable Wi-Fi hotspot. Tell us about this.
One of the things when people go away on holiday, the kids are always going to say, oh, we need Wi-Fi. Parents as well will say they need Wi-Fi, and whether it's to stay in touch with work, or, you know, to look at TripAdvisor to see what you're doing around wherever you're staying, it's really useful. And many of us have got used to, you know, using our phones. We've got our mobile data allowance. We have no roaming cost in Europe within our limit. However, Matt, it is really easy to run out, particularly if you are traveling outside of where you have roaming or in North America. And so I looked at the best available options for Wi-Fi. And you can buy, all of our mobile providers sell Wi-Fi hotspots. The best one, though, that I have come across is from a company called Solus. I think they used to be called Skyroam. And they have a 5G hotspot. It works in 135 countries, and the genius about this is that it uses the strongest signal possible. So if you say if you are signed up with one mobile provider, you're only going to get their signal. Whereas what the Solace 5G Wi-Fi does is it finds the strongest signal and it gives you that as your Wi-Fi signal. It's expensive, €377 to buy it. However, at the moment, that includes their advertising, that's data for life. So essentially, you don't have to worry about topping up. You've got access to Wi-Fi in 135 countries. It's got a built-in power bank, pretty good one, 4,700 milliamps, and you can connect up to 16 devices. So it is ideal to have in the car, both for navigation, both for the kids, both for gaming, and even to watch Netflix while you're away on holiday.
Okay, tell us about the Airvo LED Puck Light.
I really like these because people often, when you're on holiday, if you get into trouble, flat tire, or car breaks down, or even, you know, if you're camping along the way, affordable lighting is actually quite difficult to get. And I came across the Airvo LEDs, and they're shaped like a hockey puck. Really good value. I mean, less than €30 for a pack of three. They're weather resistant, really durable, so you've no, you know, there's no problem putting them at a campsite or on the road. There's multiple lighting modes, and they have an SOS signal if the car has broken down. They have a magnetic base, so you could even pop them on the car or on the side of a caravan or a tent. And so they're ideal for roadside emergencies, for camping, and really for providing light and illumination wherever you need it.
Okay, and there's a whole range of things such I wanted time to get to this evening, but you have, for example, an in-car DVD player for the kids. In fairness, what's a DVD, Andy?
And so a DVD, it's still a reasonable business. People still buy and collect DVDs. I mean, there's whole movie clubs available around the world with classic films selling on DVD. So DVD is the old format, a little bit like CD that you and I would have kind of grown up with. And why I like the DVD player is that it doesn't use up your data. It's really simple. It's really straightforward. And you can get some really nice ones, and they're great value, Matt. I mean, now, for less than €100, even for less than, I think, the next base DVD player that I've tested is 85 or 90 euros. It's got a 7-inch screen. You can get an optional little mount, so it pops on the back of the headrest, and it has Bluetooth and IR connectivity, so the kids can have their own headphones, and so they can sit in the back of the car, they can watch a movie as you're driving. So it's really nice for younger kids. Essentially, you know, you're putting on a cartoon or you're putting on something for them, and it's a really effective way to keep them amused on the trip.
Shane and Tala says, I love DVD. I've loads of them. I've loads of DVDs as well. I've got shelves full of them. I'm not sure I have a DVD player anywhere anymore to play them. Andy, unfortunately, I'm out of time. You've lots of other great ideas, which I think we'll get back to on next Thursday's programme. For now,
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.